8:04, and this is the Community and Regional Affairs Committee meeting on Tuesday, February 20th. Joining me at the committee is Representative Nancy Dahlstrom, Representative Mark Newman, and Representative Kurt Olson, and myself, co-chair Anna Fairclough. Just for information for the record, Representative co-chair Ledoux is caught in a meeting that was scheduled earlier at 7 o'clock this morning and should be joining us shortly. Today before us is HB 67. We have continued public hearing on that item, and I do plan to close that public hearing today and, with the will of this body, move it out of committee today. Are there any questions from committee members? If not, Steve Van Zandt, are you here to testify additionally on HB 67?
Madam Chair, no, I'm here to answer any questions that may come up.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to participate today? Seeing no participation, the public hearing is closed. I understand we have several amendments. The first, Representative Newman, if I could have you present it on behalf of the sponsor.
Thank you, Chair Fairclough. This is amendment number one, offered to House Bill 67, version / 8.1. Page 1, line 14, delete all material, insert, ordinance must contain, quotation mark, ordinance must contain a definition of law enforcement officer, unquote, that includes only some or all positions identified in the definition of peace officer set out in Alaska Statute 01.10.060 or in the definition of peace officer set out in Alaska Statute 18.65.290, the ordinance must.
Is there any discussion from committee members? Just to concur that Representative Gruenberg is in, has requested the committee to do this. We're not changing the sponsor's intent.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Norman Cohen. I'm aide to Representative Gruenberg, and yes, the amendment is the intent of the sponsor of the bill, Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you very much. With that, there are no are there any objections? There are no objections to this amendment. It's incorporated into the document. Is there any other amendments?
I believe it is amendment number two, or it hasn't been numbered yet, but I believe there's a second amendment in the
Would you like to offer that?
I'd like to offer it as amendment number two. And Conrad Jackson from my staff can go into a fair amount of detail on it if you'd like.
If we could read it into the record first.
Follow up or permission to continue?
Certainly.
We have met with both co-prime sponsors. There is no opposition to this bill, but either Representative Gruenberg or Representative Chenault.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Conrad Jackson, staff to Representative Olson. I apologize for the format of the amendment you have before you. It's not been formally drafted by legal, but that's reasonably easily resolved. The amendment would amend AS 2945050 by adding a new subsection, which would read in parentheses T, a municipality may, by ordinance, exempt from taxation the property of a fraternal society, order, or association that is exempt from federal taxes under 26 U.S.C. 501c8 or 10 Internal Revenue Code if the property is predominantly for one or more of the following purposes. And those purposes are listed 1 through 6, religious, charitable, scientific, literary, educational, or fraternal.
Thank you, Conrad. For the record, we've been joined by co-chair Representative Ledoux and Representative Woody Salmon. Mr. Newman, just for the record, could we have a motion to move this amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number two. Amendment number two reads, amended Alaska Statute 29.45.050 by adding a new subsection to read T, section T, a municipality may by ordinance exempt from taxation the property of a fraternal society, order, or association that is exempt from federal taxes under 26 U.S. Code 501c8 or 10 Internal Revenue Code if the property is used predominantly for one or more of the following purposes: religious, charitable, scientific, literary, educational, or fraternal. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Did you have further discussion on how the amendment affects?
Yes, Madam Chair. Just real briefly, this amendment, as the rest of the bill does, goes under 2945050, which is the optional portion of the property tax statutes. It would make this exemption totally optional for taxing authorities around the state. It's really as simple as that.
Thank you. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is bringing to mind a bill that this body passed last year that pertained to a religious organization that had quite a few properties and was a little bit of a contentious discussion. I don't know if, maybe for the record, could you give us some examples of who might fall under some of these different organizations and how many properties that might be? And I'm also wondering if we have any testimony or anybody online from any of the municipalities who may be affected by this.
Yes, Representative Dahlstrom, through the chair. Some examples of some organizations that would be affected would be the Loyal Order of the Moose, the Fraternal Order of Eagles, the Benevolent Protective Order of Elks. Just as an example, I got some numbers from the Elks Association, the State Association, and when you include the cash and non-cash contributions, as well as just volunteer hours, miles driven, all of that calculated in with federal rates, just one organization throughout the state contributes $1.366 million. Again, that's just one organization. As to your question on the number of properties statewide, I really don't know what that count would be. I can attest to some of the properties in the Kenai Peninsula Borough. I believe Steve Van Sant is online and could better explain that, what the effects would be.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Follow-up, Madam Chair. That example that you gave us, would mm-hmm. the particular municipality that's involved there, would they be expecting this body to then help them in some other way to come up with those funds that they're going to lose?
Well, Representative Dahlstrom, through the chair, again, this amendment goes into the optional section.
Correct.
So it's really not an unfunded mandate, which has been a concern for a number of municipalities. It is at their discretion. So I would hope that if they choose to offer this exemption, they would not be coming back to the state asking for reimbursement, since it was at their discretion.
Thank you, Conrad. Representative Dahlstrom, we have Steve Van Zandt online, and I believe that he is aware of this amendment and is prepared to comment and possibly give us some numbers that you're looking for.
Good. Thank you.
Mr. Van Zandt, could you respond to Representative Dahlstrom's questions?
Through the chair, Representative Dahlstrom, I can. What I've done is put together a number here that includes all the service organizations that we could find in the state. There may be a few more that we missed, but I think this is pretty much all-encompassing. It comes to about 62 properties, total value of about $22.8 million. Taxes lost to municipalities, if all of them were exempted, based on last year's mill rates — I don't have this year's mill rates — would be about $323,000. Now, that includes all of the Eagles, the Moose, the Elks, the Masons, Scottish Rites, I think that's just about it.
And then can you give me some, Madam Chair, excuse me, can you give me some examples, Mr. Van Sant, of who might qualify under educational or scientific and literary exemptions?
Through the chair, Representative Dawson, we didn't have any municipalities report to us any of those organizations that are within our municipalities.
Follow-up?
Thank you, Representative.
The sponsor of the amendment, I'm totally in supportive of the bill. I'm not sure I'm 100% comfortable with the amendment and unintended consequences of it. So that's I'm hesitant about that, but maybe with further testimony I'll feel more comfortable or absolutely feel uncomfortable.
I have people in line. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to ask the maker of the amendment if he would accept a friendly amendment to add senior citizen centers onto this amendment. This goes back to a situation that we have in the Matsu Borough where some of our senior centers are right on the edge of being able to keep their doors open. I think if the Matsu Borough had a tool that they could have something within their ability to exempt the senior citizen centers from paying their partial portion of some of their property taxes, that would certainly go a long ways in helping keeping these senior centers open. So I asked the sponsor of this amendment if they would not object to amending the amendment to include senior citizen centers.
Representative Olson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that at least I can only speak to the senior centers within the Kenai Peninsula Borough, but I believe that all of them are not paying taxes at this point in time. I think Mr. Van Zandt could probably confirm that.
Mr. Van Zandt, Mr. Newman, Representative Newman is concerned that senior centers are not currently being exempt. Can you comment on that?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, he is correct. Most of them are paying taxes. The ones that Representative Olson is talking about in Kenai are exempt under city ownership in the city of Kenai. The ones in Juneau are taxable. The ones in Matsu are taxable. I believe the ones in Anchorage and Fairbanks are also taxable. So the maker of the amendment is correct in the fact that Kenai is exempt. Most of the rest of them are taxable.
We have an amendment to the amendment before the committee. Could you hold Representative Newman?
Yes, ma'am.
With that amendment, and let's finish discussion on the main amendment before we start adding to it. Representative Olson, did you have further comments?
No, again, I qualified myself by saying that as respects the Kenai Peninsula Borough, but Soldotna is the same way, and I believe the other cities in the borough, but I can only speak to my borough on that.
Thank you. Representative Ledoux.
What's the difference between a 501c8 or 10 organization and a 501c3 organization?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, the best I can do for you is read from the IRS code. And 501c8s are defined as fraternal beneficiary societies, orders, or associations that are A, operating under the lodge system or for the exclusive benefit of the members of a fraternity itself operating under the lodge system and providing for the payment of life, sick, accident, or other benefits to the members of such society, order, or association, or their dependents. And
is follow up? Is that 8 or is that 10?
That is 8.
8. Could you indicate what 10 is?
10 is, excuse me, domestic fraternal societies, orders, or associations operating under the lodge system, the net earnings of which are devoted exclusively to religious, charitable, scientific, literary, educational, and fraternal purposes, and which do not provide for the payment of life, sick, accident, or other benefits.
Representative Ledoux.
Just follow up. What I want to clarify is, would anybody that is a 501c8 or a 501c10 organization that we'd be giving, if this amendment passed, be giving an exemption to, would they be allowed to discriminate on the basis of sex or color or any of those other things that people sometimes discriminate against? Or if they were, would they be losing their federal tax deductions or tax exemptions?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, I'm far from a lawyer, but it's been my experience that all fraternal organizations countrywide have been required by the federal government to allow women, minorities, basically everyone, subject to their initiation process and membership application, everyone is eligible. That's my understanding.
Any further questions, Representative Ledoux? Representative Olson.
I have one further comment, and that's the fact that it is discretionary. When I look around the table, I know there are at least three of us that have served on either city or municipal or borough councils or assemblies, and we have seen the what happens when an unfunded mandate hits a city or a borough, and it wasn't the intent of this amendment to mandate anything. It was merely a tool for the political subdivisions to elect on their own whether or not they were going to provide this break, and it's totally discretionary.
Just to clarify, I'd like to recognize Representative Cisna, who joined us about 8:15. Thank you, Representative, for joining us today. What's before us is an amendment to HB 67, and my comment would be, this is my first experience with amendments tacking on with a different direction than the sponsor had intended. And while this umbrella's under the proper code so that it can be done, it's starting a conversation that we may not be thoroughly briefed on to be ready to move forward. I thought that we were going to be ready to move out of committee today the $10,000 exemption for police officers. Representative Gruenberg, I believe we forwarded all the information from the questions that we asked to committee members, had appropriately answered the peace officer question as well as the boundary discussions for local control. But I'm new to the system, so if we want to take on the amendment, I'd like further discussions on the main motion. Representative Newman is waiting in line to offer an additional amendment that would include seniors. My concern with that, to speak to that, is that under the current law that Conrad has quoted us out of federal code, that particular line is not in code, so it's not going to be consistent, so we may be getting ourselves crosswise with federal code if we try to add something to this current amendment. So I would just caution you that we're on the fly right now. I don't see legal counsel that we may get crosswise that might be able to comment on this. Representative Ledoux.
Why wouldn't we in this amendment include 501c3 corporations in which there is no requirement for insurance or such things, in which it's not quite a membership organization like the C8 and the C10? What is the rationale for not including your traditional 501c3 nonprofits?
Representative Olson.
I think our intent was to keep it relatively tight, and at this, the maximum possible exposure, to the best of my knowledge, is a little over $300,000 if every political subdivision in the state offered it to everybody on the current list.
To those listening in the audience and via radio or TV, $323,000 was indicated as the fiscal note to municipalities across the state. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Chair. I go back to the third letter in the amendment, the word may. This offers an exemption to the exemption to anybody who wants it. You know, it's may. But it allows municipalities more freedom, I think, at the local level to make those decisions. And I'm all in favor of that. You know, instead of the state dictating exactly what local governments have to do, allowing them that little bit of freedom. I also, if I may, while I'm speaking, speak to the amendment quickly. Is just a matter, you know, if we include a conceptual amendment, that wording, I think that Representative Ledoux somewhat moved towards that idea of just adding a 501c3 type of program to that, but certainly nothing that Ledge Legal cannot handle. So that's my That's my feeling.
And I don't want to editorialize from the chair, but my understanding is 501(c)(3) already qualify for the exemption, so we're being redundant. I don't want to speak for all of the communities that are represented at this table. I have three people in line to speak. Representative Ledoux?
I was just going to say 501(c)(3)s already are exempted, then we probably wouldn't need to put in senior centers in this, because senior centers would be already 501(c)(3) organizations.
Representative Ledoux, I believe Mr. Van Zandt indicated that some senior centers are not 501(c)(3)s and are contributing to the property tax base, though, as Representative Olson indicated, there are some in Kenai that are exempt. Mr. Van Zandt, could you confirm that for Representative Ledoux?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, currently, in order to qualify for an exemption under 2945030A3, which is the mandatory charitable exemption, one piece of criteria that organizations must have is that they are a 501(c)(3). This one, as I understand, this amendment is meant to just get to the lodge-oriented associations such as the Elks and the Moose, so it was a little tighter. But a 501(c)(3) is just one of the criteria that the charitable and religious organizations have to have in order to begin to get to the exemption. Not all senior citizens are used for charitable purposes, and that's where we're falling, is charitable purposes. But some of those in the Kenai borough, or many of them, I guess, are owned by the cities themselves, so they're falling under a different exemption.
Representative Ledoux, follow up.
What I just want to clarify is that right now are 501(c)(3) charitable organizations exempt from property taxes around the state?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, no, ma'am. Not all 501(c)(3)s are exempt. That's one criteria that has to be met. The other is the use of the property. In order to be exempt under the mandatory exemption under 2945030, they have to be a 501(c)(3), plus they have to be used for a charitable use.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ledoux. Representative Cisna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have had the opportunity actually to be briefed on this. Last year we talked about the bill that actually is before us. And it's an idea that has real merit. It really deals with an issue that many of us are very concerned about, safety in our communities. And as I understand it, unless I'm misunderstanding this amendment, it does change the whole conversation of what is, I think, an idea that by itself deserves some thought and the opportunity to go forward without mixing it with other conversation. And so I personally would support, unless there's a great deal of information that comes from around the state about the impacts of this in a way that actually fits into the original bill, I kind of would support not approving this amendment.
Representative Sisson, I appreciate that comment. Just for clarity, it is appropriate under the title. Because it's May, I certainly don't want to be disparaging towards the maker or the presenter of it. It's just adding an additional subsection, but I'm just interested in how we do this here, and so happy to follow along. I think that there's a larger discussion that may need to be had, but this bill does move on to finance, where the discussion could be had if we feel like we can let it go out of committee. Is there further comment from committee members? Representative Newman, did you have your hand up earlier?
No, ma'am.
Representative Ledoux.
Has AML weighed in on this?
Not on the amendment, ma'am. Mm-hmm. We do. For committee members and for those of you listening, we closed the public hearing about 8:15 on this item, but I have been handed a notice that there is someone from the Kenai Peninsula Borough online. Is there any objections to reopening the public hearing so someone else can comment? Seeing that, Shane Horan, are you online?
Yes, Madam Chair. I appreciate your accommodation. My name is Shane Horan. I'm the assessor for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And I do appreciate this being an optional exemption for the police officers, and as amended now with the fraternal organizations. However, I would like to share that it does put some pressure on the municipalities to adopt. And for clarification, the senior citizen centers in the Kenai Peninsula Borough are currently exempted under the community purpose exemption that's available as an optional exemption in 2945.050. And as Mr. Van Sant had indicated, these organizations are typically designed and set up as 501c3 charitable organizations. Mr. Van Sant also indicated that some of these, in some cases, are not exempted, and that is because they may not be used exclusively for that purpose. For example, some of the senior citizens' facilities do accommodate and cater to weddings and parties and other groups. As far as the fraternal organizations, as was mentioned in a 501c8, I do have some reservations because currently we do have 14 organizations in the Kenai Peninsula Borough. We have the Kenai Moose, the Elks, Soldotna Elks, Seward Elks, the Eagles, which equate to approximately $2 million in assessed value. And at 12 mills, that does approximate about $25,000 in taxes. But I think the essence of these organizations you have to keep in mind is that they're normally exclusive to those members. So with that, I appreciate the accommodation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Shane. Are there any questions of Shane from committee members? Seeing none, is there anyone else listening that would like to present testimony before this body? Anyone else online? Anyone else in our audience that may have joined us? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. We have before us an amendment, amendment number 2, to add an exemption or an option for an exemption of fraternity society. Is there any further discussion on that option? Representative Salmon.
Under the 501c, I think the three parentheses need to be added to it. I mean, they say it's excluded, but I mean, you know, if we're going to add, you know, 8 and 10, I think 3 should be in parentheses also.
Is there objection to 3 being added?
Object for discussion purposes.
Thank you. Does the maker of the motion?
No, again, I'd like to go on the record if I could, please. I believe Representative Sisna wasn't here at the beginning of the meeting, but I have met with Representative Grunberg and talked with Representative Chenault, the Crow Prime sponsors, on this bill, and it was not our intent to take down the bill. It looked like this amendment was going to take down the possibility of the original bill moving forward. It would be pulled at the next committee, which would be finance. I thought it was a good bill last year. I think the amendment is good. I think it's narrow. That's why we don't have, you know, it's extremely limited in scope, but it conforms with the IRS definitions. And again, if every political subdivision in the state granted the right for the exemptions, I think the likelihood of that happening is about the same as us going home in 90 days.
Representative Ledoux.
I agree with Representative Salmon that we should include C3s because C7s and C8s and C10s, I don't have any problems with adding C8s and C10s, but there are organizations which basically benefit their membership, whereas C3 organizations benefit the public in general. So I guess I don't see the rationale for just doing C8s and C10s and not doing C3s.
Follow up.
Representative Olson.
Again, I made a commitment that if I thought it was going to have the possibility of taking down the original bill, that I'd pull it, and I'd like to withdraw Amendment 2.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Is there objections to withdrawal of the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is not before us, and we have the main ordinance back. It's not an ordinance, I'm sorry. We have the bill, HB 67, back in front of us. It has been amended by Amendment Number 1. Any further discussion? Representative Dahlstrom.
I'd like to make a motion if acceptable. I'd like to move House Bill 67. 25-LS0314/A with amendments and any attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Is there any objections to moving the bill? Seeing none, the bill is moved. Can we have everyone sign? We'll take a brief at ease to make sure we get signatures. Eight. 35. Is there any other business that needs to come before the body from committee members? We have no other bills to hear today. With that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you for coming.